Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about this podcast and our other resources, please visit spcconline.org. God bless you.
Next verse. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with her, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit. I would say groaning is necessary for resurrection life. These are places, the few places where groaning is directly mentioned in the scripture, and particularly in the ministry of Christ. He groaned. He didn't groan in the flesh. He groaned in the spirit. He was praying. And was troubled. He wasn't troubled about Nazareth. He was troubled about Martha and Mary. He was troubled about the Jews and their condition of terrible spiritual poverty. The Bible said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Their knowledge of spiritual things was so small, and that whole situation had overwhelmed them. Next verse. And said, I like this. He takes the next step. Where have you laid him? And they said, come and see. Next verse. This is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. It's the shortest Bible verse in the Bible. It is so beautiful. Just two words. Jesus wept. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's okay to cry. Even Jesus cried. It's okay to cry. If Jesus can cry, anybody can cry. Next verse. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved you. You know, when you see somebody who is always dead and he's always, because of the emotional attachment to the person, people cry. It's okay. But their conclusion was wrong. He wasn't crying because of Lazarus. He was crying because of them. I had no problem with Nazareth. You know what he said? I don't know if you know. How well you've read your Bible. Long before he came, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Or the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He certainly wasn't crying because of Lazarus, because he already knew what he was going to do. He was crying because of the spiritual condition of the people. Honey, get this. That is why pastors should be crying over the spiritual condition of their people and pray for them and travail in birth till Christ be formed in them. Pastors should not be laughing when their people are under the heel of Satan. They should be weeping. Blessed is he that mourneth. The spiritual condition of the church today should be making us weep. People, Christians, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, no revelation. 40-year-old Christian, still a baby. Still need to be fed with milk and not with meat. Don't want responsibility. A ragtag church. That's the situation. I'm telling you personally, as a pastor and as a Christian, you know, I thank God for scripture passion. I thank God for many of you who are making progress. I have and I do weep over the condition of the church. And I can imagine how God feels. If I can, let me say it accurately. I'm touched with the feeling of how God feels. I've explained it before here in church, and I'll tell you now. Imagine having a child. Your wife gives birth to a baby. Everybody rejoices at the birth. Oh, they do naming ceremony and everything. Then, after 2 years, he's not talking. I say, well, okay, maybe it's just a slow starter. You know? 5 years. doesn't talk properly. Children in other classes are already doing arithmetic. They can count 1, 2, 3. He cannot. 10 years. 15. 20. And he still has the mind development of somebody who's just 1 year old. There's a word for it in Yoruba. Omo banuje. I'll translate. It means a child that causes grief, sorrow, weep, pain. What is his? Literally, it means spoil. But you know, that's just the literal. But that's a syntax. But the semantics, you know, when you look at that child, your mind, you know, is full of sorrow and discomfort and the word is actually sorrow. I just said in a language that God will not make us children that will give grief to the heart of God. The word is grief. You look at the child and you just grieve. You know, some people think that they won't say it out loud. And I know they will not do it because they love their children. But we'll be thinking, maybe it's better if they haven't been born. Look at their condition. That's what Jesus saw that day. That's what he saw. Another place in the New Testament, in the Gospels, he said that, you know, the Bible says, they came to him and he preached to them. And then he healed them and cast out devil. He said, and he felt compassion. He said, for they were as sheep that had no shepherd. The vast majority of the people in Jesus' ministry were just like this. That's why he took the 12, then he took the 70 and tried to make something out of those ones to follow him, take up their cross, you know, and bring the church out of them. But the great majority, sadly, we have the same situation today. But there is a solution. And it will be in what I'm preaching to you. Verse 37. And some of them said, you know how human beings are. Could not this man, they didn't say it near him. John picked up the chatter. And then he recorded it. And some of them said, just like some people are still saying today, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, watch this, have caused that even this man should not have died? They could not go beyond that. The only thing they could believe is that if he can heal, if he can open the eyes of the blind, he could have avoided, he could have healed the man before he died. Nobody was ready to take the step of faith across death. Glory to God. Everybody was limited on this side. Nobody was able to take a step across to the other side. Verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself. In one place, he said, in the spirit. Here, he says, in himself. That's what I always say it every Tuesday. It's not tongues. It's not shouting. It's what the Bible says it is. It is groaning. What was he doing? He was pumping out life from the innermost being. And he was pumping it into the air to go ahead of him as he's going towards the grave. Cometh to the grave. I didn't hear you. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. In the east, they don't bury like us. You see, here in Africa, we bury down. But in that culture, that time, and they still do in many places, you know, they hew out something from a rock. Then they put, so they don't bury down, they bury horizontally, so to speak, they push the casket into a stone, then they roll a stone on top of it. They don't bury and, you know, go into the ground and then, you know, cover it. And a stone lay upon it. I didn't hear you. Oh, Jesus, help me. How many people are getting something out of this? Verse 39. Jesus said, take away the stone. While I did. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Next statement is one of the ones I really love. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Up till this point, they didn't believe. They didn't believe. They believed he was Son of God. They believed he could heal. But they did not believe, watch this, that he was and is the resurrection and the life. This has never been done before. Next verse. Then, I didn't hear you. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. I like this other verse too. And Jesus lifted up his eyes. I just got another tweet, another text from heaven. You know what? He was looking at the things which are not seen. He was not looking at the things that are seen. He was not seeing the dead body. He saw it. Don't misunderstand me. But you see, he was looking to the God who was in Kairos, who is about to interfere in Kronos. The Bible says, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They are subject to change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. He looked to the eternal one. And it was because he was looking at God, watch this, he was seeing him that is invisible. And he knew that invisible power is going to draw it into the visible realm so that they would see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. So the man had prayed about it before he came. He didn't say, Father, I thank you. You are going to hear me now. He said, Father, you have heard me. He had settled it before Jesus got to Bethany. If you read the account, you find out he was in a particular place. The Bible says, and when they sent to him, he said he stayed there extra 2 days. What do you think he was doing? Praying. He had prayed it through. Next verse. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people, and their terrible spiritual condition, as will be in parentheses, which stand by said it, that they may believe. I didn't hear you. That thou hast sent me. Next verse. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. He didn't whisper. He wasn't nervous. He wasn't shaky. He wasn't trying something. He was doing something that he knew worked. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44. What a portion of scripture. I like John. You know, John, he writes it without emotion. He just writes, he's like a stenographer who is just stating the facts. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with great clothes. He actually hopped. Because he couldn't walk because they had bound him like a mummy. They had bound him with grave clothes. So he had to roll, you know, they buried him like this. So he had to move his body and move his legs, you know, from the plat, you know, like a bed. It's not a bed, like a stone, you know, there was a stone where they laid them, you know. So he, you know, after he had been raised from the dead and he became conscious, he now moved his legs or bound like that, you know, and then, you know, put his leg on the ground. Then he stood up from where he was. But you see, Jesus didn't say stand. He said, come forth. So he hopped. That's how he came out. I like what they portrayed in that film. But you know, the movies are good. They give us an idea. But we are going to see the real thing. Before we finish this thing, you know, look at the incredulity on the faces of the people. They showed it in that, you know, clip when they were singing the song. Look, Mary, Martha, James, John, Peter. Yoruba call it Iyanu. The mouth will open. They'd never seen anything like it. Hop, hop. Jesus is cool. He's used to the supernatural. You know what he says? Loose him and let him go. So the people who were incredulous before, who would have been afraid to go to a dead body, they all rushed there, took the grave clothes off, you know, loosed him so that he could go and say, let's go and have lunch. That's what I said during the message. You know, because the Bible tells us later on that there was eating in Lazarus' house. What audacity. Now, I'm going to blow your mind. I'm talking today, you know, we're going to close soon. Resurrection in Abraham said, do you know that the reason why this thing was written was not so that you can open your mouth and close it. The reason why it was written so that you can do it in your own generation. The hour is coming and now is where raising people from the dead like this, sometimes 4 days, sometimes a week, well, I wouldn't say common, but it would be something that people would have heard and seen. Especially in the day of social media and satellite television. It happens in Japan or it happens here in Nigeria, in Ibadan, within a minute, 5 minutes, it's gone viral. People will see like, ha! I just got a text. You would think that everybody would get born again the next minute. But alas, alas, it will not be so. Lots will. Many people will come to believe. Many people will rush to church to come and learn and get born again. That's going to happen. We're going to bring it. But you know what, honey? It's going to be a remnant. Can you believe that, Pastor G? Even with this, and say, how do you know? Read the Bible. Jesus did this. People went to go and tell the Pharisees. They didn't deny that it happened. But the hardness of heart, the stubbornness, the rebellious heart, they said, you know nothing at all. If we leave this man, all the nation is going to get born again and the Romans will come and take away our place, selfishness, self-centeredness. And our something. Therefore, this guy stands up. What's his name? Caiaphas. You know? And says, you know, it is expedient that one man die, that the nation perish not. And John writes, he said, he being high priest, prophesied. You see, the high priest is the one who always delivers the Passover lamb. So the high priest had to say it. Talk about God causing all things to work. The man that did not believe said it. To fulfill, that it might be fulfilled. He said it's not of himself, but the Holy Ghost spoke through him. Yeah, because what happened? Did they believe? They didn't. Majority of the Levites, and they didn't believe. The Sanhedrin. You had a few like Joseph or Arimathea, Nicodemus, who believed, but majority didn't, in spite of this. I'm preparing us because of the glory that's coming. Don't think that overnight. Oh, they will see it, all right. Can they see the heavens? Even as you're sitting down now, can't you look at the stone and the stars, you know? So it just happened. Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. But do men believe? DNA, computer program, inside the cell, made of chemical bonds, CTGNA, with mathematical precision that is used by the police, CIA, used in courts of law to determine identities of human beings. But do they believe? See, this thing all revolves around this concept of honesty of heart. Only an honest man will say, ha! A God must have done this. Take Olubi's blood. Take Sarah's blood. Put, you know, extract our DNA. CTGGA. CTGGA. Then take Josh Olubi's own or Itunu's own or any of our children. Look at their DNA. I should make you fear God. But he doesn't. Because of the hardness of men's hearts. Let's move on quickly. Observe that Martha, like most of us today, believed that the Lord Jesus was the Christ and her brother would rise again on the last day. But she did not believe that the Lord Jesus could raise her brother that day. Fast forward to today. You and I, let's make it now personal and applicational. Yes, Jesus was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago. Most of us believe that today because we've been born again. We're born again by the resurrection, the power of the resurrection. The Bible says, being born again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our nature has changed. The person who used to sin, you don't sin again. Your habits have changed. So you know, inside you, you know it's true. Most of us believe that, like Martha. We believe that. But how many of us, and this is the challenge of this Easter, believe that the resurrection power of Christ can and will be made manifest in our mortal body today, not at the resurrection? Many of us, like Martha, we believe that when Jesus comes back, we sang it this morning, this mortal will put on immortality, and this corruption will put on incorruption. But do we believe that today, now, the life of God will be made manifest in your mortal flesh now? That is where God wants us to go to. Just like I said this, it's a word of wisdom. I said it years ago, and it's still true today. Just like God had to energize, he had to release resurrection life into the physical body of Abraham and Sarah so that they could copulate and give birth to Isaac, the promised son. So now, this resurrection life for Jesus comes before the resurrection. I'm talking about now. Will be made manifest in our mortal flesh so that we can manifest the Son of God like this to our generation. I ask you, like Jesus asked Martha, believest thou this? That's the challenge of this Easter and the years that are ahead of us. We must grow in faith. That is why Paul prayed that great prayer. It's my favorite prayer now, the Ephesians 3 prayer. For years, I prayed Ephesians 1 and Colossians and all of that. I used to pray, but I didn't really key into it until recently. When I say recently, last 3 or 4 years. That Christ would dwell, that you be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So that Christ would dwell in your heart by faith. That you become rooted and grounded in love. I put in parentheses by revelation, and it's correct.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.